Thetis was a beautiful sea nymph, one of the 50 daughters of the sea god Nereus. She was courted by both Zeus and Poseidon, but neither of them married her. Out of fear of a prophecy that she would bear a son who would outstrip his father, however great he was. An idea was then conceived that Thetis should join in wedlock to a human being, Peleus, the son of King Aeacus, became the ideal candidate. The wedding between Peleus and Thetis was celebrated on Mount Pelion. All the gods and goddesses deigned to descend from Olympus to attend, each bringing some unique wedding gifts. Everyone seemed to be happy with the way things were, except Eris, the goddess of strife, who had not been invited, and therefore was in a foul mood at being overlooked. In no more than a few minutes, she sowed an evil that would yield countless deaths. There, rolling on the floor, in the middle of the hall where the gods and goddesses were feasting, was a golden apple, wheedled from the Hesperides, and was inscribed, "For the fairest." Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite immediately fell to quarreling, each claiming to be the rightful possessor of the beautiful bauble. The argument became so heated that Zeus had to step in and commanded them to be silent. It was not long when Zeus came up with a solution. He sent Hermes, together with the three contestants, down to Mount Ida to find a shepherd boy there. The boy, Paris by name, was the Trojan prince who had been abandoned at birth due to an oracle that he would bring destruction to the country. Being raised by some kind herdsmen, Paris grew up to be an innocent young man with noble blood and astounding good looks, which was simply the reason why he was given the important mission. Confronted suddenly with this impossible judgment, Paris leapt to his feet and paled in terror. So Hermes, the messenger of the gods, had to explain to him in a limpid voice so that he was assured of their goodwill. Realizing that he had no choice in the matter, Paris calmed down and agreed to do the job. Then Hermes stood aside and watched. The first to approach was Hera, who appeared to the country boy as a woman of queenly bearing.
"If you make the apple mine," she said, "I shall grant you worldly power beyond your imaginings."
Athena strode briskly forward, a keen-eyed warrior.
"Should you decide to grant me the apple, I will make you invincible. You will be the greatest general ever to lead an army."
The contest was beginning to seem one of bribes, not beauty. Finally, Aphrodite glided up to Paris. Leaning forward, the goddess breathed in his ear,
"If you choose me, you will win the love of the most beautiful and desirable woman in the world."
As her scent filled his nostrils, it suddenly dawned on Paris that this was where his happiness lay, not in the hazards of war or rule. "But who was this woman?" he asked, "and what does she look like?"
"She is Helen of Sparta," replied the goddess. "And she looks just like me. For your eyes, I have made myself in her image."
The mind of the lad was swept clean. There was nothing he wanted more than the gift of Aphrodite. He indicated to Hermes that he was ready, and the three goddesses lined up expectantly. Hermes solemnly handed Paris the apple. Without a moment's hesitation, Paris held it out to Aphrodite, who took it gracefully with a smile of triumph.